We've been on the subject of two baptisms in the Bible. The water baptism will probably take a day to cover, one service. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need to cover every aspect of that, and that's where we've been in the last few weeks. I want to show you a little chart here. I know this is not as nice as Yankee Arnold, but one of these days. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross here. Can you all see this, by the way? Okay, good. Wouldn't lie to me, though. Remember, Jesus Christ came down, lived for 33 years, died on the cross. 50 days after he died on the cross, he went back up into heaven and started the church at Pentecost. Pentecost was a one-time event, will never happen again. It only happened once. And anybody who uses Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 to speak in tongues in the Bible is full of garbage. And that's putting it mildly. And then after the church on Pentecost began, the Holy Spirit was sent down when Christ ascended into heaven. And we could go through all the verses to show this to you, and I'm not going to take time to do that. And since that time, about 2,000 years, we've been in what we call the church age. Now, why don't you guys tell me why we draw the church age in that little valley there? It was a mystery. The church age was not revealed. That's why the apostles were so fouled up in Acts chapter 2. The apostles said, well, this is actually spoken of by Joel the prophet. No, wrong. The church age was beginning. Something that the Old Testament prophets knew absolutely nothing about was never mentioned in the Gospels. You cannot go through the Gospels and find the church. Only one instance where Jesus Christ said, I am going to build my church on this rock, talking about himself. The only reference to the church in the Gospels. There were some hints, but no references. So the church was a mystery. We've been in that mystery for 2,000 years, but it's no mystery to the saved, born-again Christian, because as soon as the church age began, the Holy Spirit began revealing the mystery. It's no mystery. When the church age ends, I don't know when that'll be, hopefully today, the rapture takes place. The Holy Spirit takes a very important role in the rapture of the church. The Holy Spirit guarantees that when the rapture takes place, you will not be left behind to go into the seven-year tribulation. I don't care what a preacher tells you. They don't understand the Bible. They don't get it. And most of them are self-righteous and Bible ignorant. Don't tell me that you can sin and still go to heaven. Well, yes, you can. If you can't sin and go to heaven, and I'm not condoning sin, I'm not telling you to sin. I hear this all the time. Preacher, you're telling me I can sin. No, I'm telling you, you will. You self-righteous idiot. You're a sinner. And so, when the Holy Spirit is gone, so will every saved, born-again Christian from this beginning of time here till here. Is that understood? Understand that? Very good. We've done a lot of prophecy charts over the years. We put them in all of our books. And we're going to do some more, but what we're looking forward to doing, if I ever get time, the way things are going, I want to put a screen here with graphics down there so we'll have all this on the screen. It'll be nice and neat and everything, somewhere down the road. So we are living in the here and now. The Old Testament prophets couldn't see it. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now we're not going to get on to this anymore today, but we're going to show you something in Hebrews chapter 11, or chapter 10 rather. Chapter 1, 1 Peter, look if you will. Now we could read all these verses, I'd like to, but we're not going to take time to do that. But look in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Remember what we were talking about? It was a mystery. They have inquired and who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Pay attention to that now. Pay close attention to that. The Old Testament prophesied of the grace, but they didn't understand it. They didn't know what it meant. They put everything in after the seven-year tribulation. Jesus Christ is setting up his thousand-year kingdom. And during the kingdom, that's the only thing that the prophets understood. On down. What were they searching for, the Old Testament prophets? searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now pay attention, look up here for now, if you will. The Old Testament prophets prophesied of Christ. They prophesied of his life, his birth, his death, burial, and resurrection, but they could not understand the church age. They just didn't get it. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, pay attention now, if you will, you've got to get this. Unto whom it was revealed that, not unto themselves, the Old Testament prophets, but unto us they did minister. Isn't that amazing? Now think about this. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So everything in the Bible from the very first word to the very last word is given by the Holy Spirit. Now, we could give you an awful lot of verses concerning that. However, we're not going to take time to do that. But look over in 2 Peter, if you will. Verse 19, chapter 1, 2 Peter. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, unto which you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, I can't take one verse and build a religion on it. That would be private interpretation. There's only one interpretation of the Bible, that's God's interpretation. You can't take the Bible, and I interpret it my way, and you interpret it your way, and we'll interpret it. No. If that was the truth, God would be a hypocrite, wouldn't he? And he's not. There's only one interpretation of the Bible, and it's up to you, each and every Christian, to get it right. Well, how do you do that? There are two ways to get it right. Number one, you rely on the Holy Spirit, and you study the Bible. You rely on the Holy Spirit, and you study the Bible. On down, if you will. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So where did the Bible come from? The Holy Spirit. And it came through all throughout time through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take the Holy Spirit and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us something that most people get all fouled up. So turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, if you will. And I'd like to read a couple of verses to you from Hebrews chapter 10, where many, many preachers claim that you can lose your salvation. You can be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can start backing up from that and lose your salvation. Wrong, wrong, wrong. You cannot lose your salvation, because if you did, Jesus Christ would be a liar. Did he lie? No. You cannot lose your salvation, because if you did, the Holy Spirit would be a liar. Did he lie? No. You cannot lose your salvation once you get it. And so let's look at a couple of verses that we use to try to prove we can lose our salvation. Verse 26, Hebrews chapter 10. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Hold it. You mean if I sin willfully after I receive the knowledge, there's no more sacrifice for sins? Does that mean I'm lost? Sure sounds like it. The answer is no, right?
No.
But it does sound like it, doesn't it? I can use that verse where you sin willfully, there's no more sacrifice for you, buddy. You're going right straight to hell. Lie, lie, lie. That's a lie. A lot of people believe that. Matter of fact, the Arminian Church, which is made up of the Nazarenes, they believe it. The Nazarenes believe you can lose your salvation. You want to go to the Nazarene Church? Go ahead. It's a lie. I don't want to live that lie. You can't lose your salvation. You go to Nazarene Church, same people run down the aisle every Sunday. They get saved, get lost during the week, come down the aisle, get saved, get lost during the week, come down the aisle. What a joke. What a joke. Anyhow, we're going to get back to this. Well, let's go, if you will, to verse 35, same chapter. This is one of the verses that they use to try to prove you can lose your salvation. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. You see, you can cast away your salvation. Doesn't say that, though, does it? It says, cast not away your confidence. But this, believe it or not, this is one of the verses they use. For you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, here's another verse we use to try to prove you can lose your salvation. I have to have patience, and I have to do the will of God, or I'm not going to receive the promise. That doesn't say anything about salvation, does it? That has to do with service, absolutely. Most people don't see that. On down a little bit, if you will. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You see there? You can draw back and lose your salvation. This is one of the verses they use. You can draw back and lose your... I told you. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, we believe you can be saved, but you can also lose it because you can give it back. What a joke. Verse 39. This is one they really hit on. This is the one of the verses they really use, so pay attention. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Hold it right there. You see there, you can draw back unto perdition. And then they use the word perdition to try to make it look like perdition is hell. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see there? You can draw back all the way to perdition and lose, and your soul won't be saved. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, it does. We're going to get on that. That's right. But this is one of the verses they use. They take the word perdition, call it hell. So you can draw back and go all, you can put your faith and trust in Christ, and you can draw all the way back and go to perdition, which they translate as hell, and you won't be saved. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, you can lose your salvation, but not me. That's what really gets me. You lost your salvation, but not me. I'm still good. I'm faithful. I'm perfect. Give me a break. So anyway, how do I prove, or how do I explain this verse? That was the question quoted to me. I'm going to give you two more verses here, and then I'm going to ask you a question. If you could lose your salvation, as they claim, then Hebrews chapter 10, which is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, would be a hypocrisy. A contradiction. Look in verse 10, chapter 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, wait a minute.
We only had to die once for it.
That's right, and we only had to believe it once. So he died once for all, then if I go back to these other verses, can I lose my salvation? No, there has to be an answer, doesn't there? I mean, it's one thing for me to stand up here and claim that there's an answer unless I can prove it. On down to verse 14, if you will. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You know what happened when you put your faith in Christ? You are sanctified. The word sanctified literally means set apart. It does mean more than that. It means to purify, to consecrate, to make holy. Does that mean you're holy? Absolutely not. There's only one person holy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You're not holy, but when I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, he gives me his righteousness. He looks at me as holy, but I'm going to sin, and we're going to get to that shortly. I'm going to sin. Just because he looks at me righteous, just because he gives me eternal life, does that mean I'm not going to sin? I'm going to sin. I don't want to. I poured 4.5 yards of concrete yesterday. Believe me, I wanted to sin. My wife is watching out for me, though. And then he goes on to say in the first part of this chapter, chapter 10, verse 1 through 9, and then on in verse 11, I want you to look at verse 11, if you will. I don't know how many Catholics we have in there today, but every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering often the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. What takes away sins? Faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing. The Catholic priest, even though they're cute, all dressed up in their garments, and the Pope, he's really, oh man, is he cute. Got that great big high hat on. I've been thinking, if I ever get one of Benny Hinn's jackets and the Pope's hats, I'm in. I'm going to walk down the aisle with a candle burning, and I'm going to sprinkle water on everybody. Oh, that's going to be the most religious thing you've ever seen. You'll love it.
Can I do the incense?
You can. You got it. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. It's going to be the most religious thing you've ever seen. You'll love it. Yeah, maybe not. So what's the problem? Okay, the book of Hebrews. Let me explain something, okay? The book of Hebrews was written to saved, born-again Jewish Christians. I mean, it has the name Hebrews on it. That's simple enough, right? But they're no different than you and I. They got saved, and then they got religion. It happens all the time. And so because they got religion, the Hebrews wanted to go back to the Old Testament law to keep saved. Pretty stupid, huh? You can't go back to the Old Testament law and keep saved, but that was their problem. And so the book of Hebrews was written to these Jewish Christians to admonish them to do what? Well, the answer is in verse 22. So go to verse 22. Now, the answer is given all the way through the Bible, okay? But in verse 22, to admonish them to do something here, let us draw nearer with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Faith is the word. Faith is the word. How in the heck can you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then go back and go to the law? That's not faith. That's works. And so the Hebrew Christians had a works righteousness. There were many people in the church, just like any church today. You find someone in the church that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were saved. Then you get somebody next to them that didn't. But they were all religious. Some were saved and some weren't. But the ones that were saved got all wrapped up in the religious aspect, just like we do today. And it became null and void. It was worthless, useless. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What's the pure water, by the way?
Word.
The Word of God. Yes. Notice verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our what?
Faith.
Without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. Well, what does that mean? That means when Jesus Christ said, I died on the cross for you, all you have to do is put your faith and trust in me. You have eternal life. He is faithful. And so as I go through my Christian life, what am I obligated to do? Trust him by faith. 1 John 5:13. You believe by faith, you serve by faith. It's that simple. And then you go to the Bible. Back to verse 26, okay? Verse 26. And we're going to try to tell you how to explain verse 26. And then we're going to come a look at a couple things concerning Christian and sin. You know, before we do this, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. We need to do this. And give you a little more background of the Christians. As the writer of Hebrews, who I believe was Paul the Apostle, wrote to the Hebrews, he told them their past, their what their fathers did. I tell you, the Hebrews way in the, back in the Old Testament really were a joke. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 2 or chapter 1, we're told, God told the Israel, he said, I've given you the promised land. And I remember years ago when I was reading a couple of books by Dr. M.R. DeHaan. I had a good teacher, and Max Younce and some other teachers.
And I read a book by Dr. M.R. DeHaan, a couple of them, and boy, I tell you, my eyes were just opened. Dr. M.R. DeHaan knew how to open up the Bible like nobody else, and my eyes were open, and he showed me that in Deuteronomy chapter 2, and I said, oh. But anyway, God said, I have given you the promised land. Now, by the way, let me point something else out. You're all familiar with it. What is the first rest?
Salvation.
What is the second rest? There are two rests for a Christian. They are not heaven. Even though by the first rest you are saved by faith in Christ, that is my future in heaven. But that's my first rest. Why would that be my first rest? Because I ought to have peace and joy and comfort, because I know I have eternal life. My second rest is something I have to earn. I have to work for that. If I want to get into God's promised land, which He has for me in the here and now, I have to serve Him by faith. That's the second rest. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Hebrews failed to enter the second rest of Canaan. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is my second rest on this earth by serving the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Now, okay, so the Hebrews, they sent 12, they had 12 men. They went in to spy out the land. Remember that? If you've read your Bible. Only 2 out of 12, Caleb and Joshua, came back with a good report. All 12 of them should have come back with a good report, right? Why? Because God said, I give you the land. It's yours. I'll fight your battles. Just go take it. But 10 out of 12 came back and said, oh, no, we can't do that. What was the problem? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32 says, faith. You didn't believe. You didn't believe God. And so here we have the Hebrew Christians that Paul was writing to had exactly the same problem. Oh, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, but, oh, don't we get that all the time, don't we? I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, but I got to come down the aisle and lay my sins on the altar. That's a lie. It's a lie right straight out of hell. Or, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, so the preacher gives you, and you got to raise your hand, I'll call on him. No, you don't have that. That's a lie. All these things are lies. Believe, but. If I can't do something, if something can't be done, if I can't see it, if it's not visible, I don't want anything to do with it. So these Hebrews, these Christians in the New Testament, remember the New Testament again, had exactly the same problem as they did in the Old Testament. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4. Before I run out of time. In verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, back up to chapter 3, if you will. Now, the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is Paul the Apostle, which I believe I can prove, told these Hebrew Christians, he said in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You see? This was their major problem. Unbelief. What does that mean? Lack of faith. Oh, God can't keep me saved. I don't believe that. I really have to do something. I have to maintain my own salvation. I got news for you. If you had to maintain your own salvation, you wouldn't make it. There isn't a preacher on the face of the earth, alive or dead, that could ever make it to heaven by their own merits, their own good works. You cannot do it. Drives me nuts. And then you got to notice something else throughout the book of Hebrews. Let me show you some words here. Notice the word we use, brethren, in verse 12. Notice in verse 1, holy brethren, partakers. All the way through the book you have words like we and us. Paul the Apostle is writing to save born-again Christians. On over in chapter 4, if you will. Verse 6. I'm not going to read a lot of these because I'm going to get on some other things. Verse 6. Therefore, seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter into it. What? Back up to verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Now back here and read verse 6 again. That some must enter into it. How do you get into that rest? You serve the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Faith, believe, it's that simple. And so if I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach me the Word of God, the Bible, how do I do it? By faith. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to teach me the Bible. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm going to tell you something. Knowing the Bible is awesome. Knowing that you can open up the Bible to any chapter, any paragraph, any word, and read that word and understand it is awesome. How many of you are there now? You should be. Yeah. I see one hand for sure. When I can open up the Bible, the Word of God, and understand what it means, that is awesome. How many Christians never make it? Never make it. So now that we have what the whole thing is all about, I'm noticing verse 11 here. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The second rest. How do you get there? By faith. The promised land, Canaan. How do you get there? By faith. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works. What's at the first rest? Salvation. You don't work for your own salvation. And when you get there, that first rest, you have ceased from your own works. Let us labor. Now we got to work, right? Look at the next. Let us labor. I got the first rest. I didn't have to work for it. It was free. All I had to do was trust Christ as my Savior. Now there remaineth therefore, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, the second rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of what? Unbelief. What's that? Lack of faith. Pretty simple, isn't it? You know, people, I talk to people, they have two books in the Bible that they just can't get a grip on, among others. One is the book of Hebrews, which I think is simple. And the other is Revelations, which I also think is very simple. I think the two books are easy to understand. And then when you understand those, you can understand Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah, and you can understand the rest of the whole Bible. But I think they're easy to understand. Back to chapter 10, if you will. The Holy Spirit's going to teach us the Bible this morning. You know what? He does every morning, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, it's nothing different. Go to verse 1. So the Apostle Paul telling the Hebrews, he said, look, you can't maintain your own perfection. The only thing that will get you through this crazy life is faith, continued faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's faithful. I need to show you something. Go, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place here. We're going to come right back. 1 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 1, all the way back here. Verse 2. Now, let me tell you something. The church at Corinth was the worst church in the Bible. They were the worst group of believers in the Bible. They were a lousy bunch of Christians. They were Pentecostal. I'm not going to get into that. Verse 2, chapter 1. Unto the church of God, I love that. We bought this building from a church of God, didn't we? What a joke. But this is the real church of God. This is the New Testament church, body of Christ. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Did you get that? You know what that is? Past, present, and future tense in the Greek. Did you know that? You are sanctified. How did I get sanctified? By putting my faith and trust in Christ. See, back to Hebrews chapter 10. Now let's go to verse 26. For if we, well, who's the we? Christians. Sin willfully after we, Christians, have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Can I lose my salvation? No. Well, what's the answer? The answer is in the very next verse, isn't it? You know, the answer is always in the Bible. Notice the word, but. Notice that great big word there. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye Christians, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, Jesus Christ, You getting this so far? And hath counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified. I hope you're getting all these words. Which he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What Holy Spirit? Notice all the things in this one verse here. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye Christians, who are a complete failure, you go through your life trusting in your good works, you've got this sin, you've got that sin, you've got this willful sin in your life. You know what the willful sin is? Not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the big sin they're talking about. You can commit all kinds of sins. You go through the whole Testament. You say, I don't believe that preacher. You go through the whole Testament and find out what God thinks about false religion. He does not like it. You know what it's called in the New Testament? Babylon. False religion is not trusting Christ. It's getting into anything that makes me feel emotional, that makes me feel good, and makes me feel religious. Anything other than just plain faith in Christ. When you go home today, you say, "Trust Lord, I'm going to trust you for the rest of my day. I'm not going to do anything special. I'm not going to get religious, but I trust you, Lord, the rest of my day." Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye Christians, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Stop there. You know what happens when I get saved by faith in Christ? I get into some church and start getting religious. I start putting false doctrine into it. You know what I'm doing? I'm trotting underfoot the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm stamping on him. That's terrible. And have counted the blood of the covenant. That's the blood of Christ that washes away my sin, with which he was sanctified. I'm sanctified. You get it? Four. An unholy thing. Do you know what happens when I get into false religion? And I begin to trust in some kind of a religious act? It's an unholy thing and do despite to the Spirit of grace. There's only one thing God wants you to do in your Christian life, and that's put your faith and trust in him as you serve. How simpler can you get?
Yeah, that's right.
That's one of them, one of the verses they used. Of course, the Lord said in Matthew, when you walk out in chapter 10, he said, stamp the dirt off your feet when you walk out of their house if they reject you. That's one of the verses they used. But you see how simple it is? It's simple in that he's talking to Christians. Christians who get into false religion, or maybe it's some other kind of a sin. I don't know. I don't know what the sin is, but it's willful sinning. That's why I'll never get religious in my church. When you want to get religious, you tell me about it and I'll leave. I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as I go through my Christian life. I'm going to try to live a life that makes him look good and glorifies him. And when I fail, I fail. But when I fail, I'll go to him in prayer. But when you want me to get religious, I'll leave. Never happened. But I am going to do one thing. I'm going to spend the rest of my Christian life trusting Jesus Christ. Faith. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you do that, you go to the Bible and rely on the Holy Spirit, it'll open up to you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Try it someday. Try opening up the Bible just anywhere. Read about three or four verses and see if you understand it. And if you don't, you better start learning. Because you should be able to at some time. Let's go look at some of the other verses before we run out of time here. Where they try to prove that you can lose your salvation. Now, you understand verse 26 by now, I hope. You understand verse 26. The willful sin is the sin of a Christian. We're not going to have time to get on this, but I'm going to give you some references in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. And then there are a lot of other verses talking about the sin unto death and the sin not unto death. There are times when God takes a Christian's life. There are also times when, in order to teach the Christian a lesson, he'll do some other things. He may not take their life, but he may make their life so miserable that they'll wish they were dead. I've seen it happen. Anyhow, verse 35. We already see that these were saved Christians. They're not lost. And we need to know that, my wife said, it's your service, not salvation, that the whole thing is talking about. It's your service. Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense. That's not salvation. That's my present day rewards, just for serving by faith. Look at the word confidence. If I have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't that the same as faith? Yes. It's the same as faith. And then in verse 36, the last part of the verse, receiving the promise. What is the promise? The second rest. That's the second rest of service. Canaan, serving the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That's the promise. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Isn't that what we've been talking about?
Yeah.
But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The word soul in this verse and the very next verse means your personality. It comes from a Greek word. We would spell it P-S-U-C-H-E in the Greek. We call it psyche. In other words, it's you, the person. Your animal instincts, your personality. That has nothing to do with your eternal soul, by the way. It's a Greek word, P-S-U-C-H-E. Psyche. And he says, my soul, my personality shall have no pleasure in him who draws back. And the word draw back does not mean it does not mean what people think it does. It means just to draw back from having faith in God and draw back to my own religious attitude. And then finally in verse 35, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. The word perdition simply means loss of well-being. You know what happens when you draw back from faith in Christ? You get saved, you have eternal life, that's a done deal. But when you draw back and you lose your faith in Him and you start getting religious, you start doing this, you lose your loss of well-being. And I got to tell you something. I know an awful lot of Christians today that ought to be into the Bible, into church. Their life is a mess, but they think they're having fun. They're doing all kinds of things, and after all, Sunday's my only day off. You know, what a joke. You know, people don't realize, I got to tell you personally, I've probably told you this 100 times, when I built Heritage Bible Church, I was working a full-time job. Often I was working 16 hours a day. I was going to three Bible colleges, and I was doing a lot of other things. And I built Heritage Bible Church in 8 months, and I still had time to go fishing. Hard to believe. I was a trouble lineman. There were 4 of us. We should only have 1 trouble lineman off at a time, no matter what time of the day it was, only 1 at a time. But there were 2 trouble linemen that went to Bible college. We both managed to have Monday evening off every week. Only God can do that. And he said, well, this is my day and I want to do what I want to do. You go right ahead and do what you want to do and the God will not honor you. And you'll find yourself scratching for more time to do this and do that. And you'll never get anything done because you don't put Jesus Christ first, and that time you took for yourself will not amount to nothing. I can't understand why Christians just don't get it. But anyway, loss of well-being because we just won't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in church today and you've got your Bible open, you better thank God for it. You'll reap the rewards. Thank Him for it. We are not of them who draw back into perdition, a loss of well-being, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Is that eternal soul? No, we just explained that. That's your natural life, your feelings. You see, when you don't draw back away from God and you just have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just faith, 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 and serve Him by faith, you do not have a loss of feelings. The Lord will honor you. He'll bless you. He'll give you emotional feelings, joy, peace, contentment. What else in the world could you get? Pretty simple, isn't it, when you begin to study the Bible? Nowhere in the Bible are we told that you can lose your salvation. Because if you could, Christ lied, the Holy Spirit lied, God the Father lied, the blood of Christ lied, the Bible lied. None of those ever lied. And it does happen, doesn't it? I know a lot of people that are living on the road of destruction right now today that ought to be in church. You want to get out of that destruction? What do you do? Serve the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. trust. It's so simple. There's nothing hard to understand about the book of Hebrews at all. Nothing at all. He's talking to Christians that need to serve by faith. Or, if you don't, then you're serving by your own works. And that doesn't work. Just doesn't work. In closing, let me show you this little thing here. Everybody that I know that teaches the truth almost uses this illustration. Nope. Well, let me check. How much you need? Never mind, I don't have it. Forget it, I don't have it. Okay, well, I'll give you those. Anyhow, the Bible says, I'm a sinner. This hand represents me, right? This represents my sin. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. I wanted to get on some more things here, but we ran out of time. But in verse 31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Did you know that that verse only pertains to Christians? The living God is not the living God of the lost. Did you know that? He's only the living God if you believe in Christ your Savior. It's a fearful thing to fall into His hands. In the meantime, I'm a sinner. I can go to hell and pay for my own sin, right? I can do that. God will allow me to do it. People say, well, God won't send you to hell. No, you send yourself because you're a dummy.
Yep.
Yeah. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for me 2,000 years ago. Shed His blood. He paid the payment. He died. He was buried. He rose again in 3 days. Did not suffer contamination, corruption. Did not go through that. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. The Bible says all I have to do is believe it. That's faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? Only a fool would reject that. Then if you have done that, then the Lord expects you to serve Him by faith the rest of your Christian life. Without works, just have a good attitude, maintain a good lifestyle, reflect Christ in your life. It's pretty simple. Otherwise, you trod over Him. You trod the cross. You trod His blood. You just step on it, mutilate it. Hey, no wonder God takes many of our Christians home early. No wonder. Let's have a word of prayer, if you will. If you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, you can do that just by saying, just between you and the Lord. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to talk to you or ask you to do anything. Just between you and the Lord, say, Lord, I believe You died on the cross for my sins. It's pretty simple, really. It gives you eternal life. Your sins are paid. It's pretty simple. If you didn't do that, you go through your whole life and never do that, it's pretty stupid. Even a child can see that Jesus Christ paid the price. So if you're here today and you've never done that, won't you do it? Just between you and the Lord, I believe You died on the cross for my sins, and you have eternal life. And if you're here today and you've already done that, then why not just serve the Lord by faith? Trust the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word, and trust the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in everything we do. And we just thank You for it in His name. Amen. Okay. Well, should I try to... Hold on a minute.